5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on.
Someday,
somehow,
I know we'll make it that vow. Oh, that's love.
That's love.
Baby, I know that's love. I want
your lips
caressing a fingertip.
That's love.
That's love. Baby, my crazy love. Well,
that's love,
my love for you.
That's love,
my
love
so true.
Each night,
I pray,
you
care for me someday.
That's love,
baby, I know that's love.
That's love,
my love for you.
That's love,
my love so true.
Each night,
someday, I pray,
somehow,
you care for me someday.
That's love,
baby, I know that's love. That's love.
Well, I'm hoping that we're on the air now. We've had some technical difficulties.
The all-new Panic Room radio show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Are you there, Xtina? Jeff, anybody?
Jeff's here.
Jeff, how you doing? I'm so sorry about this. I don't know what the hell is going on. We've had a technical issue. Great, it's either gremlins or tropical storm Cindy, one of the two. Either way, I fucking hate them.
Or demons. It could be demons.
It could be demons, yeah. Which probably serves us right. But
yeah.
It could just be Verizon, you know, rearing its ugly head.
Yeah, or AT&T conspiring with Verizon. AT&T knows I'm not their biggest fan, but I don't know.
Well,
it was all horrible. I think it's a problem at the radio place end. So this storm has been doing all sorts of weird, wonderful things. And if their servers at the arm sounding boring now. So anyway, Jeff, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. How about you two? Aside from the little side issue.
I'm stressed out of my whatnot. So I need to calm down. I need to take a leaf out of Xtina's book, actually.
Yeah.
There we go. We need a drink. We need a drink. So,
there's always my grandmother's traditional folk remedy for stress.
Yeah.
Yeah, she always used to advise that, you know, if I was feeling uptight and homicidal, to find a large shopping center parking lot, look around for somebody old and feeble, kick the crap out of them, and run.
Oh my God, that's awful.
I know, but the problem is that old and feeble person is most likely to be me, so I don't like that idea, to be honest with you. I get terribly confused. I mean, it's lucky I have the kids. I mean, my kids have grown up with incredibly retentive memories because I always, literally always, forget where I park the car. And we play this game, and whenever we come, even if we come up HEB, we go every damn week, and we play this game called Where's Daddy's Car? and they've all played it. I'd say both my kids have got incredible amount. I spent my little girl, she's got a memory like a steel trap. Because otherwise, she just spent the last 8 years wandering around various shopping mall car parks trying to find Daddy's car. Oh. I once spent back in England, yeah. There's a great shopping mall called Meadowhall, and I'd actually met a boss of my work for Duracell at the time. I met my boss there, and we had lunch and whatnot, and I came back out, and it was dark, and I literally, it took me an hour and a half to find my car. I just came totally out the wrong door, and I was wandering around the wrong car park for an hour.
You know, that would be me. So we can never go to a mall together or anything, you know, like that, because I would never, I'd be
unless,
awful.
Unless you take my daughter.
Yeah, I was at a big hospital, you know, visiting my mom, and she was in, and I had to take screenshots or, you know, like a picture to, you know, the, you know,
I do that
I'm
now.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Even
but a
grocery
lot of
store,
them,
check it out.
A lot of them
yeah.
don't have things like that, you know what I mean? Like the airport, you go to the airport, and they have like the blue car park, level 4 section, whatever, and I take that picture. And, you know, a picture of the local vicinity, so I've got a rough idea of the landmarks and whatnot. But a lot of big malls don't bother with that. And I'm just, because I can come out, I can go into one store and then come out of the same door I went in and literally turn the wrong way. I've got no sense of direction whatsoever.
Yeah, I really don't either. My mom used to say I would get, what is that saying about the wet paper sack? I couldn't find my way out of a wet paper sack. Yeah, she used to say that.
Mm-hmm.
when my kids were little, we once spent a delightful weekend at Disneyland trying to find the car.
Oh my God, that's awful though.
And on a scale of 1 to 10, Jeff, how popular were you?
I was fabulously possible.
I can imagine
popular because I kept buying them churros.
Well, we try to make. I mean, I don't know if you've seen the Lego movie. They have a show within the movie called "Honey, Where's My Pants?" And we do that. We say, "Honey, where's my car?" Because my son thinks I'm just like a lonely, sad old man now. You know, for God's sake, Dad, you lost the car again.
Again.
No, I know where it is. It's here. It's in the car park.
Yeah.
So okay, we're back on the air. Thank you for your patience, Jeff. I really appreciate it. It's the first time I've had
no worries.
Serious issues.
Yeah, we've never had anything like this happen before.
No, we have not. And now my computer decided to back up, so everything's going slow. But so tell us. Obviously, you're here to plug your book. I'm going to hand over to you because I'm I'm still fiddling at this end. Tell us a little bit more about it, sir.
I'm sorry. Could you repeat that? You were breaking up.
Oh, he said to tell us a little bit more about your book. Okay.
Yeah. The name of the book, it's called Chump Change. And it's I write comedy, crime, and murder books that are set in and around Los Angeles. I've been living in Los Angeles since the days before disco, and you know, I fell in love with the town, and that sort of comes across in the way I portray it and describe it. LA can be a fabulous source of comedy, especially observations. And after being here about 40 years, believe me, I have a ton of them. Anyway, the book is about, my books tend to be, like I said, they're comedy crime stories. Poke a lot of fun at Los Angeles, and living in Los Angeles at sex and the entertainment industry, because I retired about 10 years ago from advertising as a copywriter and creative director. And quite a few of the ad agencies I worked for had motion picture studio accounts. Plus, I got sentenced once to spend 6 months working at Universal Studios in their in-house ad agency. So I know the mentality, and I know how those departments function, and they're a huge source of comedy in and of themselves. Anyway, my books tend to be pretty fast-paced. They're incredibly funny, and they poke a lot of satiric fun at at the place where I live and the people I live amongst. So Chump Change is kind of like it would feel if you were combining. It would feel like you were combining, say, My Cousin Vinny and Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. Very,
wow.
Very sad.
Oh, two
very, very
brilliant,
sad.
Brilliant films. Excellent films.
Say what?
I said
yeah,
two fantastic films.
Yeah.
I loved
well,
My Cousin Vinny. I did.
Yeah, that's one of my all-time favorite movies. And my main character is a lot like Vinny. You know, he's in it. He was a full-time attorney. Now he just sort of dabbles. He does a little bit of legal work, a little bit of vehicle repossession, and a little bit of bail enforcement. You know, bounty hunter.
Oh wow!
And he's got a big mouth. I mean, he's a wise ass. He takes after the guy who writes him.
Well, do you have a reading for us? I'm anxious to hear.
Yes,
your
I do.
Yay!
I mean, would you like me to do it now?
Yes, definitely. Yes, can't wait.
Okay, let me just. Oh, I have to log back into my computer. The screen went dark. Hang on 1 second.
We should do
or
the
technology.
Show sort of. Yeah, I know. I hate. We should do it by quill. I think.
I'm totally in favor of that. I'm hoping there's a day when we return to tuna fish cans held together, you know, with a long length of string.
Yeah, we used to, in England. It was yogurt pots. You know, I don't know if you got ski yogurt here. Yogurt pots, bit of string. If you held the string just right, you could hear nothing, to be honest. But it was fun, and that was our PlayStation. In those days.
Yeah.
We were happy. We were happy.
Definitely.
It was a terrific system. We had the same thing going here. The only problem with that was when you tried to call outside your little area code and had to add more strength.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would say if you had to call more than sort of 3 yards, really, it sort of got wobbly. But
yeah.
Obviously, it was better than the radio software has been tonight. So maybe next week we'll try the string and yogurt pot system, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, it just reminds me, funny enough, about my little girl said the other day, I mean, she was just, you know, you can tell when a kid's bored. And she was flopping, and I thought, what is wrong with you? It's on, but, and literally, she's got every electronic thing known to man, 3 million channels on the TV, and I read an article many, many years ago saying, one of the best things you can do for your kids is to let them be bored for a bit. I remember rainy Sundays, me and my sister, and we would be literally, nothing on the TV, nothing to do, we didn't want to play Monopoly, whatever, we were... But and we would sit there for an hour or whatever, waiting for something to come on the telly or whatever, waiting for it to stop raining. But yeah, you either you pick up a book or your mind would work.
Yeah.
It was funny. Our next door neighbours, they've just moved in. They've got a little girl about my daughter's age. My daughter's all excited and that. And this girl, I mean, she's been on summer vacation for 3 weeks and she's been in camp. She's been doing this. And my daughter went round about 4 o'clock in the afternoon to ask if she's going to play. She says, this is for a 10-year-old girl. She says, I'm tired. Seriously? At 10, you do not do. You're up at dawn. You're up and you go until you fall asleep when the sun goes down. That's it. You don't do. I'm tired. For fuck's sake. Really? Seriously.
What
I'm
is
going,
her future
you know,
going
to
look like?
And yeah, my little girl is just. She's got two speeds. She's got asleep and full on. Nothing in between.
Yeah.
It's just go. Which is how you should be at 8. Seriously. Not. I'm tired. Seriously. Do you want to come and swim in the pool now? I'm going to sit and read a book.
No,
really?
My childhood was a lot like that. I grew up, the first 12 years of my life I spent in the suburbs outside of New York City. And during the summer, from sunrise until sunset, you weren't home. You'd be out on your bike,
yeah,
playing with your friends, playing baseball, you know, exploring,
yeah,
doing all kinds of things. There isn't a kid on the planet, or at least in the United States, that would consider doing that without having mom give him a ride.
Yeah.
I know. Well, that was when we moved, even when we were in England, I think because the commute is a little bit different here. In England, my son, I mean, he was 7 when we moved here. And he's his best friend in the world literally lived across the street. They knew when each other was up because they'd wave at each other through their bedroom window. And he would, like you say, he would be out in the street. He'd be we had like an alleyway at the back. He'd be out playing the back, you know, playing in dirt, whatever. Now, you know, like you say, Jeff's right, you know, you drive the little fuckers everywhere, and they've got to go to this camp and that camp, they've got to do cheer, they've got to do da da da. We made our own, and I'm sounding old, me and Jeff are going to say, we are sounding, you know, but the being bored for a bit, you know, you'd either make up, do something, or you'd sit, and that's perhaps where our imaginations came from, you know, because we would entertain ourselves. You know, I didn't pick up a book, I just... That period of boredom gets your mind working, you know, and it rather than just being spoon-fed, literally 24 hours a day, which they are, you know, and it's just,
Well,
you know, so
you know,
when she said, I was really pleased she said she was bored. I said, good, I'm not going to entertain you. Find something to do or sit there. I don't give a shit. Sit there for 2 hours. I don't mind. Honestly.
I like
that. And she sat there for probably about 20 minutes and then went off and did something. And great. You know, the philosophy here seems to be you've got to entertain them, you know, every minute of every day. And I think the danger is, I mean, you know, there are negative temptations. I mean, drugs here are so easy to get hold of. I mean, in England, it was easy enough, but here, I mean, it's just, so I guess there's a lot of paranoia if I don't have, you know, little Timmy in every camp and every sport known to man 24 hours, 7 days a week, he's going to end up, you know, a hopeless drug addict. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's,
no,
I'm all for, let the little bastards get bored. That's what I say. Read a book,
well,
kids.
Yeah. You know, kids are growing up. You know, kids are kind of like black holes for content.
Yeah,
you know, they just absorb it, but it's like they don't have a sense of creativity. That genetically disappeared. You know, I can remember as a kid if it was raining or snowing or you know for whatever reason couldn't get out of the house. You know, get out my big box full of, you know, plastic army men and conquer the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
My favorite was
Lego,
or Legos, as you guys call it. Because, and I mean, even Lego these days, you know, you get a Lego. And it's funny, for me and my daughter, it's a thing that we like building Lego sets. But she's got, you get like the Beauty and the Beast Lego set. She's got a Frozen Lego set. You get a Star Wars. She bought me a Star Wars Lego thing to build for Father's Day. When I was a kid, it was a box of your square and rectangular bricks. That was it.
Yeah,
if you're lucky, you have the little pieces that look like windows and a few wheels. That was it. You made your. And if there's a comment made,
oh,
I think it was on the.
I think it was on the Simpsons
recently.
They were little wooden bricks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's a comment made on The Simpsons. I think it was Lisa Simpson that she went and she bought a Lego Malibu Stacy set, and you know they said that basically the comment was, well, we do all the thinking for you. You know, listen, you just put this thing together. It's like a paint by numbers but for Lego. But in my day, it was Lego. It could be anything. It could be a spaceship or a submarine or a air or just anything, absolutely bloody. I used to make little Lego housing estates, which is so incredibly sad looking back. And then a little Lego homeowners associations, and it was just great. I loved that, you know.
Now but, I just want to play Barbies or something.
Yeah, well, we used to play, I mean, G.I. Joe, Action Man, we used to call it. But, yeah, I mean, but, or, you know, give us a stick and a tennis ball, and we'd be happy for hours.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And,
oh, I know. When I was about 9 years old, my parents bought a brand new freezer, and I inherited the box it was packed in. That was my favorite toy for about 8 months until it fell apart.
There's nothing better than a cardboard box and a stick. Literally, those are the two best things you could ever have. It's funny. My little heart swelled the other day because my daughter, we have sort of three pretty big trees in our backyard, and we had a bit of wind, and there's some fairly big sticks had fallen. And she was playing with sticks. Now that is brilliant. That is fantastic. Just sticks. Nothing. I don't know what she was playing. Sticks. And that was great. You know. So anyway, hopefully we filled while Jeff's got his computer booted up. Are you back with it? Are you ready for your reading now, sir?
Oh sure. I'm
fantastic.
Go.
Brilliant. Okay, off you go.
Okay, what I'll be reading is the first half of the first chapter. The book actually begins with a little bit of a prologue, but you don't need that to set up chapter one. So this is Chump Change, and here we go. If you're trying to get from one end of Los Angeles to the other during rush hour, you've got two choices. Assuming you're the head of Disney, ABC, or 20th Century Fox, your corporate helicopter can whisk you where you need to be before the grande half-calf, two-pump chai latte in your cup holder has a chance to cool off. But if you're anyone else, you're stuck sharing the Ventura, Santa Monica, or San Diego freeways with 3 or 4 million of your closest friends. Which means, sometimes, the best way to get where you're going in Los Angeles is just to be born there. The man checked the rearview mirror on the left side of his handlebar, pulled in his clutch lever, and kicked his Harley down into second gear. Then he eased his old-school chopper into the space between his traffic lane and the one on his right, and moved out at a steady 35 miles per hour. Meanwhile, the rest of the vehicles on either side of him continued inching forward like a herd of caterpillars, all busily converting the Sepulveda Pass section of the San Diego freeway into the world's longest parking lot. The man's name was Mo Fishbein, Fish to his friends. In this town, everyone was a hyphenate of one kind or another. You had your actor producers, your actor directors, your parking valet screenwriters, and orthodontist talent managers. But Fitch was a hyphenate of a different color. He was a chef, attorney, repo man, bounty hunter, enjoying a few days off. Fitch had worked his way through night law school as a restaurant sous chef and passed the California bar exam on his first try. Then a few years later, he turned his back on the partnership offer at Uptight, Rigid, Repressed, and Lipschitz to live at the beach and just dabble. These days, he practiced a little law here, a little vehicular repossession and fugitive apprehension there. He might never earn enough to get a write-up in Forbes, but then again, as founder and CEO of Big Dog Recoveries, he worked when he wanted, for whom he wanted, and still managed to support a lifestyle that included a home perched above the cliffs on the north end of Malibu, not to mention days off playing on $70,000 worth of custom-designed old-school chopper, blasting up and down the coast and carving some of the local canyons with the two heavily tattooed hog-riding junior members of the firm who lived in his guest house. Small wonder Fish spent a lot of his waking day smiling. He pulled to the curb in front of a modest $800,000 post-World War II starter home a block south of Ventura Boulevard, climbed off his Harley and started hoofing it down to the busy thoroughfare. If the San Fernando Valley had a main drag, Ventura Boulevard was it. 25-mile-long collection of boutiques, trendy salons, overpriced little restaurants, discount furniture and lighting galleries, and garish strip malls that stretch from just outside Universal Studios in Studio City all the way out to the Kardashians' backyard in Calabasas. To Fish, the valley was a lot like Long Island, but with palm trees. He strolled 100 feet up Ventura Boulevard, held the door for a junior development exec from NBC, who was too busy texting on her smartphone to nod a polite thanks, and then walked inside. Now, the huge neon sign above the entrance pretty much said it all. Art's Deli, where every sandwich is a work of art. Muslims the world over might pray to Mecca 5 times a day, but for members of the tribe who resided within a time zone or two of Studio City, one of the holiest spots on earth had to be Art's Deli. starting some 50-some-odd years ago with a passion for cold cuts and traditional Jewish fare that was just like Mama wished she used to make. Art and his wife opened a small storefront deli just down the street from where Ventura Boulevard collided with Laurel Canyon. The place was a monument to good food and gargantuan servings, and it became an instant hit, doubling and then tripling its size as the stores on either side became available. Fish scanned the inside of the eatery looking for his appointment. Over in one corner, he spotted a couple of stand-up comics he recognized from their HBO specials. And in another sat a height-challenged bad boy rock star with a pirate bandana wrapped around his head, a tendency to punch first and ask questions later, and a voice like a cat caught in a Cuisinart. Fish watched as a pair of middle-aged former Valley girls approached him for an autograph, interrupting the flow of ketchup the man was pouring over his breakfast. Bad boy's unspoken answer was a handful of loosely scrambled eggs and Del Monte he tossed at his two fans. Little guys with big-ass egos. Fish chuckled silently while a Cheshire Cat grin spread across his face. You've got to love this town. Since he couldn't spot his appointment, he let the hostess set him, seat him in a booth alongside Art's art wall, an unbroken surface that ran from the front of the deli back to the rear and separated it from the high-end toddler boutique next door. Equally spaced along the wall were humongous 4-foot by 6-foot framed full-color photos, extreme close-ups of some of Art's creations. Each sandwich was posed with its two halves facing each other at an angle that lovingly displayed every moist, glistening layer of rare roast beef, ham, or pastrami, and every luscious globule of fat in all its glory, and earned the wall of oversized food portraits the nickname of Jewish porn. Fish rested both arms across the back of his booth and tilted his head straight up, taking in his upside-down view of the entire wall. He started to chuckle as he caught himself wondering what would have happened had Hugh Hefner been born into the tribe. The centerfolds in Playboy would probably have sported a completely different look. Hey, sorry I'm a little late, Fish. Let me guess, car trouble? You couldn't find your way? Yeah, something like that. Anyway, hey, I'm sorry if I held you up. Fish slowly tilted his head down from his view of the wall of salacious Hebraic wall decor. No sweat, Arnie. I mean, hey, you got to take that left on Wilshire at Crescent Heights, stay on it till it turns into Laurel Canyon and follow it over the hill, and hang another left on Ventura. Hey, I know it's a long way from brain surgery, but some guys just can't handle the pressure. He chuckled and motioned for Arnie to take a seat. Here, take a load off. Having been an attorney for a number of years, Fish didn't have a lot of use for most barristers or even much respect, especially for Arnie. At best, they were usually long on brains and education, but missing that special chromosome that governed conscience, ethics, and morality. Dig deep enough into any big-time financial or political scandal and you're bound to unearth a few law school graduates rooting around in the muck. At worst, they could be too bumbling and or unimaginative to do anything but make life a living hell for their clients, like Arnold Kaufman, Arnie Babe, to his showbiz clients. He was bright enough to graduate UCLA Law in the middle of the pack, but had to take 3 runs at the California bar in order to pass. From there, he did what any newly minted lawyer with limited talent and big family connections did. He became a Hollywood agent. Eventually, he pushed his first and only client into a big break in the movies. Too bad she had to go and get clipped by a hitman who paraded around in black Armani and talked like Marilyn Monroe. After that, Arnie made the jump from agent to producer, selling his former client's life and death story for a movie that was so bad it premiered on airliners and not American or United, the only place to catch that turkey, board a Southwest Airlines flight. But that was then. Okay, Arnie, you called this little meeting. What's it all about? Arnie Babe started rummaging around in his briefcase. Fish, you ever heard the saying, opportunity only knocks once? Yeah, so? So right now it's pounding hard on your front door, buddy, with both fists. He tossed a stack of slick-looking brochures onto the tabletop. Pitch folders at TV production companies pulled together to sell broadcasting cable TV networks on their ideas for new series. And it wants to make the two of us rich. So, listen, why is opportunity being so generous with me? Reality TV, Fish, you ever hear of it? You mean like that father and son who build custom choppers together but hate each other's guts? Fish tossed the brochures back onto the pile. Yeah, thanks, Arnie, but I need that kind of opportunity like a moose needs a hat rack. Hey, don't knock it, my friend. That show's made multimillionaires out of both of those guys. The same for those nut jobs who fish for crabs on the Bering Sea. Hey, or what about that guy who whispers at dogs? Arnie dug another brochure out of his briefcase and set it down on the table. You get a hot reality show and you can make millions off it. Trust me. And you want me to help you produce a reality TV show? Arnie shook his head. No, Fish, I want you to star in your own reality show. What do you think of this? He held up both hands, with index fingers reaching skyward, thumbs pointed at each other to frame what he was saying. Fish, bounty hunter to the stars. He turned the brochure over and slid it in front of Fish. The show's title was printed in huge letters that took up two lines of type. Below that was a photo of Fish on his old-school chopper, along with his two assistants, Einstein and Kenny, on theirs. All Fish could do was shake his head and chuckle. That's all, folks.
Oh, awesome. Wow, do you know, I was enjoying that.
Yeah, really good.
I was enjoying that. Oh, we need more of those.
Yeah,
I like the style. I was just going to say, the just read out the name of the law firm again. I love that.
Uptight, Rigid, Repressed, and Lipschitz.
Yeah. You know, I think they were actually my ex-wife's divorce attorneys, actually.
Ooh. That's
excellent, awful. It's funny. I just started watching the I'm Dying Up Here. Have you caught that yet, Jeff?
I'm sorry. What was that?
There's a TV show. I believe it's either HBO or Showtime. It's called I'm Dying Up Here. It's about the stand-up comedy scene of the 1970s. I've just seen the first two, and it's really, really good. You sort of, with all your mention of the comedy scene, et cetera, you sort of brought that to mind. So,
Yes. The weird thing about L.A. is literally everybody has a hyphen, in their job description somehow. And everybody in this town is a writer waiting to get discovered.
Of course.
You know, between actors and writers, that's it. I mean, in this book, later in the book, Fish, Kenny, and Einstein get pulled over by a motorcycle cop because he's got expired license plates. Mm-hmm. And as they're talking, Fish gets a phone call from Arnie Babe. He's got to interrupt, his conversation with the policeman to take the call. The cop hears that this agent's trying to sell Fish on being in his own reality series. He reaches into the saddlebags on his cop Harley and pulls out, his head sheet and his resume and hands it to Fish.
That's cool.
I bet at some point in L.A., I bet that has happened. I bet that has actually happened.
I know that it did. I spent almost 40 years working in L.A. in advertising as a writer and creative director, wrote and produced countless commercials, a lot of toy commercials, a lot of dog food commercials. God, what else? Some computer stuff. And the insanity in this town over the show business industry is not to be believed. And if you take it with the right attitude, it is hysterical. I mean, I can remember getting off the elevator in the high rise where I was working in this one ad agency that had a big dog food account. It was a dog food and cat food manufacturer, and I got off the elevator. They were holding a casting session for dogs for this, commercial they were shooting. There were 75 dogs and their owners in the waiting to get in to talk to the producer.
Uh-huh. Wow.
I can imagine that being bedlam. I mean, if the dogs are anything like mine.
it's got to be interesting. What was even stranger, I mean, at another agency, I worked for a place that specialized in toys. We did Cabbage Patch Kids. We did, do you remember the old Rambo action figures?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm the one who invented the Rambo commercial.
Oh, seriously? Oh, wow.
Seriously,
awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
What's interesting is, I mean, everybody was really proud of this at the client. The commercials went over so well. They pushed Masters of the Universe off the shelves in, Toys R Us and some of the other stores.
Yeah.
But I can remember doing kid casting sessions at the agency where there'd be 50, little boys from like between say 9 and 12 waiting to get into audition. The mm-hmm. people who are insane in this business are their mothers.
Yes. Yeah.
One of the worst jobs in an ad agency, and it's usually passed down to the lowest person on the totem pole in the production department. The worst job in advertising is being the one who has to tell a kid's mother that he did not get the part.
Oh, I bet you get some abuse. I mean, I've seen the TV shows, and I saw a little bit. My little girl, she's retired from cheer now. Obviously, she's eight. She did cheer a couple of years ago, and we went to they do the regional finals, and then we went to some finals. And the behaviour of some of them. I mean, us fathers are pretty chill, we'd say hi and sit with a T-shirt on and clap, or whatever. But the mothers are so fiercely competitive. It's frightening. There's one lady sat in a chair. So the lady came and she thought that should be her chair, and da-da-da. And they were almost coming to blows. So you've got your little kids. They're there. There's your daughter watching you effing and whining to this other woman about to pull her eyes out. What example is that set to the children?
What happens is the little embarrassed kid is the one who becomes the adult in the situation.
But the problem is that's imprinted on the kid, and then that kid, when they grow up, they have that's exactly how they, and it just perpetuates itself, and it's just.
Yeah,
But it opened my eyes. It surprised me. Obviously, I've seen the TV show. I've seen Tiaras and Toddlers and all the rest of it. And my wife loves all that. She used to do all that when she was a kid. I think her mother was one of these pushy mothers. But it is just how fiercely competitive and aggressive these people are. It's like, seriously, it's supposed to be fun for the kids.
Yeah.
It's meant to be fun, not. When they take the fun out of it, you can see the kids switch. That's one of the reasons my daughter wanted to do something else, because it just stopped being fun. They got that fiercely competitive and she just, I don't want to do this. I want to do cheer because it was fun, and it spoiled it for me. She does gymnastics now. She's happy with that.
For a little kid, it's a very, very long day under mm-hmm. very hot lights for portions of the day. When they're not shooting, they have to be in a trailer, being tutored. I mean, you have the state requires you to hire a tutor to keep up the education of any kid who's under the age of 18.
Yeah.
The whole silliness of working on toy commercials. I've got a really incredibly well-developed sense of the absurd. And I spun some of that off in this book. One of the major characters, who's also one of the villains, is a woman televangelist who, when she's on camera, butter would melt in her mouth. She's incredibly good and caring and generous and Christian and all the warmth and everything like that. But off camera, the woman's, she's a tropical storm looking for a place to happen. She's got a 4-year-old daughter that she spends millions every year guaranteeing that this kid wins every toddler beauty pageant she goes to.
Yeah. Wow.
But it is. I mean, a lot of it is from, my observations. A lot of the time it's the parents projecting on the children. My wife, she's from here. She's American, and her mum was very much. Her mum was the pushy mother, She said, and she push. My wife, obviously, she told me all this, and down to she wouldn't let her have a haircut, and she had to do this, she had to do, and it was just, And yet, my parents either they didn't care, they just let me do my own thing. My dad always wanted me to join the Boy Scouts because he was in the Boy Scouts. I was never one for anything organized, to be honest. I didn't really like school awfully much, to be honest with you. But,
yeah.
To be fair, it wasn't me, you know, because again, my wife, because her mother wanted to do the dance. She wanted to be a pageant queen and that. So she had my wife and pushed her into doing it. And I, from what she said, I don't think it was an awful lot of fun for a lot of it, you know. And yeah, it's funny. He's a funny story. Actually, he's a friend of my son. They used to live here. They moved to California. He came to stay with us for a few weeks, beginning of summer. And this lad is 6'4" now. He's still 14, 6'4", weighs about 200-odd pounds. He is huge. He is.
Wow.
He could barely get, because I have a Mustang. He could barely get in the car. He could barely fit in his car. He's there scrunched up on the way back from the airport. And his dad, you know, when we were texting back and forwards about him coming and that, he said, you know, the high school football coach is already talking to him about da-da-da-da-da. So I got chatting to him on the way. So, oh, yeah, football coach is talking to you and football and that and all this football that. And he just looks at me and said, nah, I want to do debate team.
Oh, wow.
And I can see his father obviously doesn't know, and he's going to be devastated. He's got him pegged as getting a football scholarship and all that. He wants to do debates. I don't. It's just too, because he's a gentle giant. He's a big, you know, he's a really, really sweet lad. Awesome lad, you know. And he hasn't got an aggressive bone in his body, bless him.
We are just about done with our first segment here, and I know, and I apologize for the goofy mess up in the beginning of the time stub. And you have to promise to come back, and you know we'll.
I think. Thanks to Jeff, we recovered well. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you.
Oh, listen, it was my
trooper,
pleasure.
Yeah.
I started my career working on a radio station that used to blow their circuit breakers literally three times a day and go off the air.
Oh,
so
wow.
Yeah, I understand.
God.
Well, you know, this is our 49th show, and it's the first time we've had to start again. I mean, the first time I've had that. We've had the odd little wobble, but it's the first time this has happened, and it had to happen to Jeff. I'm so sorry, Jeff. But, Jeff, before you go, just tell us where we can find you and your I'm going to have to buy it. I'm going to have to try and cadge a free copy from you of this book, because it sounds delightful. I have friends who have moved from here to LA. He's a good friend of mine I knew from the stand-up comedy circuit here. He's over there trying to crack it as a comic over there. So I would really, really love to read that. So tell us where we can find it,
okay,
sir.
All of my books are available as ebooks on Amazon.
Okay. Do you have a website? You have a Facebook page?
Yeah, what I'm trying to do here, hang on, is get you to my Amazon author page.
We do have all of his links posted on.
Oh, do we have that? Is that on the Panic Room page? So,
yep.
She probably knows more about you, Jeff, than you do. To be honest, she's climbing like that.
I'm glad you guys have that, because my tablet is acting up here. It doesn't want to let me in.
Oh, right,
yeah,
okay.
All your links are posted on our Facebook page, so if anybody wants to stalk Jeff, that's how they can do it.
I'll just say, just in case this is the uprise of the machines and technology turning against man, it's been great. It's nice to meet you all.
You just have to keep repeating the mantra endlessly. Technology is your friend. Technology is your friend.
Ah, but Jeff, that's what technology wants you to think.
Yeah. Anyway,
right now,
I've seen all the Terminator films. I know what's going to happen. I just don't want it to happen tonight, to be honest. Not tonight.
Yeah, I know. But you know, even you notice, you remember with Terminator, Arnold Schwarzenegger never had to log in.
That is true. He's been on iOS or Windows, he just sort of crashed 20 minutes and just sat there, you know. Suddenly, I've got to do an update. Sorry, I can't kill all these cops and escape and everything, because I've got to go offline to, I've got to plug in and go offline to actually run this the 9th update of the week.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Okay, Jeff, thank you so much for joining us, Jeff. It's been an absolute pleasure, sir.
Well,
thank
guys,
you.
It would be a pleasure and an honor to come back. I would love to do it.
We will
have you back very, very soon, and as long as you promise to read more for us. I really enjoyed that.
Oh, I loved it. That was a tremendous amount of fun. You've got the link to – you've got all my social media stuff, right, Christina?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep, it's posted on our
fantastic.
Please pass that info on to James. The book I was reading from is Chump Change. The first book in the series is titled The Ladies Temperance Club's Farewell Tour. And that's kind of a – did you like Thelma and Louise?
Who didn't? Yes.
Okay. Well, imagine Thelma and Louise in a huge RV driving down the road with Lucy and Ethel.
Oh, God.
Awesome. Awesome. Yes. I'm getting me a copy of that book. Right. Well, you have a fantastic rest of your evening, sir. We're gonna have a music stroke toilet break, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Okay.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye bye,
Jeff.
Bye bye.
Thank you. Bye bye. Yeah, I think we're recovered. I don't think anybody noticed the complete and utter clusterfuck at the beginning of this show. it's funny enough, the show's about 10 minutes out. My bladder isn't. So we'll do the commercials when we get back, okay? We're going to go into some tunes and stuff.
If you give me just a little while, I'll change each teardrop to a smile. He promised happiness, but he left you loneliness. What makes you hurt inside? Lost love or injured pride? Only one, now don't you cry. You'll forget him by and by. If you give me just a little while, I'll change his teardrop to a smile. I know what you've been through. Your heart's been broken too. He kept you on a string while you gave your everything. Oh, little lonely one, now don't you cry. You'll forget him by and by. And if you give me just a little while, I'll bring a teardrop to a smile. It will be hard for me to fight his ever-loving memory. But give me just a chance, and I'll bring true romance.
To part two.
And we're back in the room. Christina, are you there, my dear?
I am, yeah, I am.
Oh, you are there. That is fantastic. Well, do you know, now we're back on track. I think, two things we need to do. I think first and foremost, we need to do...
I've two words to say to that. Shite! What's the other one? Shite!
So it's Baseball Corner with Xtina. So for anybody who really, and there's probably not many out there, anybody who cares, how's the Blue Jays been doing this week? Pretty dismal from
goodness.
What I've seen.
I know. I have to say, I hate the Texas Rangers. I hate them. They slaughtered us.
Careful, Hang on, I thought it was the Astros, isn't it? It's the Houston team. See, I know that much.
Yeah.
Go
no,
Astros.
They killed us. I think the game today was like 11. Oh, what was it? 11-4 or something. I mean, what? At least
Ouch.
We got on the board. I was just, you know what? I was just happy we got on the board. That's how, you know, bad we. I know. So
that's
I'm glad.
Pity,
I think
a pity score, isn't it? Oh,
I think this was the last game in the series with the Rangers, and I'm hoping so because we cannot do. I mean, they slaughtered us. So I'm really glad that I believe it's the last game today was, and they're off somewhere else, and hopefully we can beat them. And
yeah, probably
and, but,
not.
Yeah, but you know, we're not doing that bad.
Yes, you are. You're doing terrible. Every time I look, you're sort of 12 points down. You know, they
I
need
know,
to score
I
more.
Know.
Score more goals.
Okay.
Yeah,
you
opinion.
Know, I will say that we are the very last in our division right now, but we're still in the hardest division. So you put us in any other division, and we'd be doing a lot better. I don't know if that means anything, but it does to me.
Sorry, I actually stopped paying attention about a minute ago.
I figured
to be honest.
You did. Yeah. Okay. I wanted to ask about fruit flies. Do you have anything
you,
about fruit
know,
flies?
I'm glad you mentioned, because it is Fruit Fly Corner. Did you know that fruit flies mate for life? Although,
I did not. What is that, though, a
there,
day?
There you go. Nah, yeah, 2 days. Although, apparently, the divorce rate is climbing amongst fruit flies. So, you know.
What is the difference between a fruit fly and a regular house fly? Because I have a
I'm just not even going to... I'm not even going to get into that. I'm sorry.
Really?
It's like... Saying what is it between a dog and a horse? I mean, you just seriously.
Okay. Well, do you know it's about? There's this giant housefly that keeps trying to bombard me, and I'm kind of. He's huge. Do they bite? They don't bite,
no.
Do they? Okay, good.
No.
What does he want with me?
They just piss you off. They just like. Yeah. Buzzing around. I think they're just like annoying people. I mean, we get them. I mean, they do. They come in and, they buzz around. They look for food. I mean, they like to settle on humans because they like the salt on your skin.
Ah,
the perspiration.
That is.
But then you've got to think.
Can I
the
need
last
a shower? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you probably smell. The last.
Hey.
You've got to think the last thing. The last thing they crawled on was probably a big pile of dog shit. So they go and crawl around a dog shit, and then they come around and sort of poot around on your sandwich for a bit, and then you eat it. And that's how people, you know, get bellyache. You know, it's look, it's funny. Our little chihuahua thing, he can snatch flies out of midair. He will hunt flies like, you know, a foxhound will hunt a fox. You know, he's ruthless. But I've seen him jump, and he can jump a fair bit, actually, for as small as he is. And he will snatch a... And then they'll sit there going...
Yes,
and they're chewing
so
on him.
Cross,
chewy,
the
crunchy
thing.
Noises. Oh, no. Usually,
like a
usually
raisin
I'm sitting
or
there
something.
Away.
It's so gross.
Oh, my sort of middle dog was... I thought, what has he got there? And he was sort of chewing it a bit and spitting it out and sniffing it and licking it in, chewing it. And it was this bloody great big fly. Oh, don't do that. Oh, it was nasty. That was nasty. But, anywho. So, let's do some commercials before we bring Jason on.
Oh, you're going to... Okay, I have him right here. Okay, here we go. We here at Hellbound Books would like to inform you that, following the appropriate rituals, a portal has opened and spawned a horde of hellish delights in which you mortals can partake. Depraved Desires are a dark erotica and erotic horror anthology. Shopping lists, learn your favorite author's shopping habits and confront them in the prodigious aisle. And The Big Book of Bootleg Horror, a sinister tome dripping with taboo things to make your skin crawl. All are available at your favorite outlets. Find your links to them at hellboundbookspublishing.com. And WeHelpBum Books are proud to announce our very own app on both Google Play and the App Store. In the mood for something steamy to read this summer, check out new erotica author Jennifer Lynn's website at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James at his website, www.jameslongmore.com. And don't forget to follow the Panic Room Radio Show on social media. Our Facebook page, Unofficial The Panic Room Radio Show, Twitter at Panic Room Radio, our YouTube channel, The New Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website, www.panicroomradio.com. Now it's time for a drink.
Awesome. And breathe. Time for another drink. So I have to say, sadly, Becky, the reviewer, is not going to be with us this evening because she's not remote. So, yeah, I know. Get well soon, Becky. We miss your awesome reviews and that fantastic southern accent that what she has, which always makes me think of apple pie and picket fences.
Oh, I would love some apple pie right now.
Yeah. Do you know, I have a single serving apple pie in the freezer. So there's a little fascinating fact for you there. That's great.
And you still have not, you know, when I do the 11 questions in a little while with Jason, I'm still going to get mad about not seeing a picture of the freaking ranch-style pork beans.
Ranch-style, before we eat them.
It's been 49 weeks now, and I still have not gotten a picture.
I need to send you that picture, don't I? I'm so sorry. We still have we actually had a tin just the other week, but they do exist, I promise. I will actually send that. So remind me when we're not in the middle of a show, will you? Because I'm not really in a position to go and take photographs of my pantry right now.
Okay,
funnily
fine.
Enough, but, yeah, fine.
Maybe next week during baseball corner. Yeah.
That'd be great. Yeah, you can waffle about baseball. I'll go and photograph beans, which, to be fair, would be more interesting. To be honest with you.
So, to you, maybe, but not to me.
I think to most people, to be honest with you. You know.
Was it our guest last week who said baseball was, I think it was Rath, he said it was synchronized standing or something?
Synchronized, yeah, organized standing, which is
organized.
Absolutely spot on. That and cricket. Cricket is just organized standing about a bit and just then going for tea. You know,
well, I hope Jason is a baseball fan.
I'm hoping if he is, we might have to cut the show short because I just. I'll tell you what. I think there's one way to find out. Jason, are you there, sir?
I'm here.
Yay! Hey,
are you a baseball fan?
Not to start a fight already so early in the show, but I'm a Boston Red Sox fan.
Woo! At least they're baseball fans.
Okay, well, and it's been great speaking to you, Jason.
Hey!
Thank you for joining us. Good night.
I love baseball.
Oh,
I have my hat
Xena,
on right now.
Shut up. Seriously, honestly, nobody cares, okay? Except, obviously, Jason, who's a Red
boring.
Sox fan.
No, it's the most boring sport to watch.
No,
hey,
no.
Do you know, it's funny. No, I tell you what is really boring to watch is golf. Who the hell
God.
Sits and watches? Because they hit the ball and you can't see it. It's so small. And yet the camera pans and you've got to imagine that that's where the ball's got. To be fair, the guy may not have hit it. He might have put a sound effect in and the camera pans. And the ball's still on the tee, and says, "Well, you don't know." And then you just see somebody off camera at the other end just throws it near the little flag. Says, oh look, he's hit it right far. Yeah, great.
I never care for even watching.
Spend your time.
I can't even find the ball in football though. When I'm trying to watch football, I can never figure out where the ball is. So.
It's usually in the middle of all the men sort of all sort of bundled up together. That's where it is. That's
yeah.
where it is. Golf is a boring sport to play. Sorry, say again, Jason.
I said football doesn't mean something different to you, James.
It means something entirely different to me. It means that it's the proper sport, the game of kings. Yes. I mean, not the travesty of rugby that you guys play. That is not football at all. Yeah, my daughter, because my son actually plays soccer, and of course I call it football, and I get corrected now in my own home. You know, just, hang on a minute. Who invented the game in the first place, really? Yeah, but no, golf, I just don't, I don't know, I'm even playing it, you know. And I tell you, I mean, I've played it, I always struggle to get the ball through the sails on the little windmill. You never do that.
Yeah, I've only played. I've only played a couple of times, and I'm so bored. I don't like it
maybe
at all.
Maybe if they did that on like with Tiger Woods and Jack Nicklaus and that, if they made them go through, you know, get it through the clown's mouth and through the windmill, and that, it may actually be more entertaining.
Yeah.
They should try that. Maybe they'd watch it. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I doubt it though.
Mm. If you had a few drinks first, it'd be very entertaining.
It would be incredible. She's always entertaining when she's had a few, to be honest.
Hey,
that's
now,
why we make
hey,
a drink before the
I
show,
know.
You know.
You know, we were late on the time, and then, you know, we had the break, and then you asked me to do the commercials, and you know I've been drinking, so that's just mean. I mean, I was hoping I wasn't stumbling over words or anything. I think I did okay, though.
I don't know if you heard the bad start we had, Jason. We had a technical issues at the radio end, which is kind of thrown us out a little bit. You know, it's us all over the place tonight. But we're back on track with yourself now, Jason. So it's thank you for joining us.
That's kind of really all that matters, though, right? No, I'm just kidding.
But you're here. Yes, it is. I mean, without you, it'd just be. It would just be me and Xtina, and it would be really dull because she'd just talk about baseball all the time.
I would. That would be exciting, you know? It would be.
Well, she'd be baseball, and you would be golf, so, I mean.
Yeah, it would be terrible. To be fair, I can always fill with fruit fly facts, so it wouldn't all be,
God,
all be dull.
Did you know that they mate for life?
Yes, they do, but sadly the divorce rate is increasing among fruit flies. Let's talk about Jason's book instead. So, Jason, tell us all about it, sir.
Oh, well, there's not much to tell.
I'll put you on the spot now. Fine, well, let's talk about something else.
Oh, I started off as a semi-pro American football player. No, I didn't. So, anyway. all I do is work, so I guess I'm defined by that. I work all
something.
Day and then write all night.
Wow.
I've written four novels that are published now. I have probably another four novels already set to be published. A lot of short stories, novellas, and I can't seem to pick a genre, so I don't know what
I'm
yet, so it's pretty hard to tell you who I am.
Okay. So which genres have you written in across all your many works?
Well, horror, sci-fi, fantasy, bizarro, that was fun, and...
Yeah, bizarro is fun,
well,
yeah.
And stuff that people won't find out there because I put it in a different name. So we'll let that guy talk about that.
I'm guessing that's rude stuff, isn't it?
I'm not going to say one way or the other.
Oh, come on. I'm not. I'm like a dog with a bone. I'm not going to leave. We all have our naughty little secrets. So let's leave that one. Which is your favorite genre to write in?
I'm sorry?
Which is your favorite genre to write? And have you found a favorite yet? Or
I really don't have a favorite because I like to mix them in every one of my novels. I like like a horror mystery or a horror dark humor or even a thriller that's got, you know, a psychological thriller that has even not romance. I'm not going to say romance. I don't do romance. But you find out.
You never say never.
Right.
Well, it sells, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I guess all of what I do has a lot of dark themes in it. So that's, I guess, the overarching genre. Anything dark, it works for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a big fan of dark. I like dark humor. I mean, a lot of what I write, it's got a very thick vein of dark humor through it. You know, obviously you can have dark erotica. Can you have dark romance? I don't know if that's, is that possible?
Yeah, you can. We've had some of our guests, that's the genre that they've, you know, that it says is dark romance.
Is that different to dark erotica, though?
Yeah, I don't know.
Sid and Nancy, maybe, or True Romance? Both good movies.
True. Yeah,
that's dark
true.
Romance, I would say.
That's pretty damn dark. Yeah. Yeah. But there you go. Obviously, I've learned something. I have actually learned something tonight. There you go. Old dog, new tricks and all that. Do you know, I could regale you all night on with fascinating fruit fly facts, but Xtina won't let me. So
yeah, we'll leave that for a different show.
one, maybe we should do a whole hour and a half on fruit flies because you know the time would just whiz by. People would just be loving it.
I don't know about that.
To be honest, I probably would listen to it.
moving right along here.
Moving along from fruit flies.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah, do you have I'm anxious to hear more about your book, Jason. Do you have a reading for us?
Yeah, what I was going to read is actually from my first novel. I'm re-releasing it shortly from Bloodshot Books. So I did a two-book deal with them. It's the original and a spin-off novel. I won't call it a sequel because it really focuses on a side character. But it's dark humor, and the reason why I chose this piece is because I get the most questions about it and the most raised eyebrows and the most, what the fuck is wrong with you? That was the weirdest scene. It's not my best scene. It's just the one that everybody seems to comment on for whatever reason. And if I can read it in front of you, then I guess I could read anything.
Yay, so, go for it.
All right. Her body. Let me set it up. A guy, the main character Clyde Menard, he was in a kayak and he rode into a. Well, I guess he paddled. Sorry, into a mass of spider webs. And the book is about a spider living in a guy's ear. So if you're queasy about that, then don't pick it up. So, knowing that, I'll read the scene. Her body was warm and inviting. She stood bare before him in the light of a crescent moon. His hands rested on the curves of her hips. As she shimmied closer, he could feel all his constraint, all his humanity give way to animalistic lust. She straddled his legs atop the 1982 Corvette Stingray's elongated hood, seemingly built for their carnivorous appetites. Passion controlled every movement. She reached between her legs for his belt buckle. You know we shouldn't be doing this. Relax, Clyde, she commanded, pushing his shoulders back against the windshield. Don't ruin the moment. But Morgan, she pressed her lips flat against his, cutting off his protests. Before she withdrew, she playfully nibbled on his lower lip. Shh, she whispered, pressing his index finger against her wet lips. His finger disappeared inside her mouth, and he moaned as she sucked. Her hands returned to his buckle and undid his belt and fly before he could utter a second protest. Already hard, she whispered, scraping her teeth along the side of his neck, daring to bite. She slid down his pants and boxers just far enough to allow her access. He felt her hand upon her. His bark arced in ecstasy, but she pushed him flat against the hood, pinning him in her brace. He was hers to control. She placed him inside her. With her palms flat on his chest, she thrust wildly, her eroticism consuming. Clive quickly succumbed, perhaps a bit too quickly. I'm going to come, he said, somewhat embarrassed. Then pull out. I didn't take my pill this month. A whole month? How do you forget to take a daily pill for a whole month? Talk about killing the mood. Had she noted her lack of caution in the birth control department sooner, Clive might have been able to stop himself, but the distraction came too late. He tossed Morgan off, nearly sliding her off the Corvette's hood and onto the muddy earth. He closed his eyes and used his hand to finish the job. Whatever magic there had been was lost forever. Arg. Sorry about that. something wasn't right. Whatever was releasing from his body wouldn't stop. He looked down to see an endless stream of white material projecting from his penis. What the hell is that? I stared in disbelief. It looked like nylon, maybe silk. He glanced at Morgan, confused and panicking. What he saw only heightened those emotions. The silky substance that somehow attached itself to her. With life of its own, it wrapped around her ankles and kept on wrapping. The more of it Clive released, the more Morgan became engulfed. She screamed as it circled her torso, quickly drawing her closer to her face. It reached her neck, and she struggled to break free, but his binds were far too strong. Make it stop, Clive. I can't, he shouted. An invisible force held him in place, compelling his body to continue. He couldn't shake the feeling that someone or something was watching him laughing. At last, Morgan was swallowed by the unknown substance, encased in a hardening, suffocating shell. She fell to the ground, squirming desperately inside her unnatural cocoon. Clive tore at the material covering Morgan's mouth without success. Every bit he removed clung to his hands so that when he tried to remove more, the part of his hands would rejoin the hole like Velcro. Morgan's movement slowed. Eventually, she went still. Zipped up in a giant cotton white sleeping bag, perhaps Morgan was only sleeping. Clive shook her as he sobbed and called out her name. As he recognized her fate, at his hands no less, he screamed out her name in overwhelming despair. Morgan! The sound of his own voice startled Clive awake. Of course, it was a dream. It was followed by a thud against the wall, his roommate's way of telling Clive to shut the fuck up. He felt something under his eye, and he swiped at it frantically. Whatever it was slid down his cheek, where it was caught on a stubble. He drew in his breath and squeezed his eyes shut as he grabbed it. Feeling no cause for alarm, he calmed, rolling up the thread-like substance into a little ball. He tossed it on the floor. Just lint. He picked up his phone, dialed the number, and let it ring a long, long time. A barely awake yet annoyed voice eventually answered, "Hello? Hi, Morgan. I just had the weirdest dream. Clive, do you have any idea what time it is?" Clive ignored the question. "I dreamt that we had sex, and I submerged you in my semen." If this is your way of trying to get a girl into bed, you're doing a terrible job. Seriously, it was scary. My junk, it wasn't liquid or anything. It was much more like thin angel head pasta. And it wrapped you up like a caterpillar. Fucked up, no? Was it white? Yeah. Was it sticky? Yes. Clive, I'm no dream expert, but it could be that your little adventure into that wall of cobwebs the other day messed up you up a tad bit more than you let on. Spiderwebs? Yep, I think you may be onto something there. That's exactly what it was like. It was so gross that shit wrapped around my face and in my mouth. Thanks, Morgan. Can I go back to sleep now? Yes, of course. I'll talk to you tomorrow. And soon.
Oh, I like that.
Well, beautifully read. That was very great. I was living that. That was very, I think
I
in many ways,
too.
And we've all had that dream.
Well, I do every night, but... usually I'm being wrapped in the cocoon though, not coming out.
Interesting.
I just remind me, I had a dream, and it only occurred to me. I had a dream night before last. It occurred to me I was out with the kids. You know, something triggers, and you remember your dream. I dreamt I was I'd gone to a salon to get a Brazilian wax. I was trying to talk to the lady at the counter, I'm here for wax, and she couldn't hear me. She, "You're here for a what? You want a what?" And I remember I woke up feeling embarrassed. So there you go.
You look like Hitler smoking a cigar.
I actually woke up before I had it, so I'll never know. I will never know.
Well, man's sleeping's in these days, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, yes, it is. Very much so, yeah.
Wow. Okay. Anyway, I want to do 11 questions. We didn't get to do it with our first guest, and I, you know, it is 11 questions minus question 10, and I'm very concerned.
Sweet.
I don't think I'll ever know what question 10 is, and I'm
no.
very... very concerned
it's just
about
the question. It's just messing with your head now. So let's do the jingle and we'll get straight into it.
And now, 11 questions.
All right, you ready, Jason?
Well, you're calling it 11 questions, but you're asking me 10 questions.
Now, but with the bonus question,
go with it.
Kind of
go with it.
Okay.
Number one, what's your guilty pleasure?
Probably sex. Isn't that everybody's guilty pleasure? lots and lots of sex. I didn't say that out loud. Drinking. Oh, wait, that's even worse. Drugs. Nope. I'm stopping now.
I like all those answers. Baked
so
beans,
anyway.
Ranch style or pork and beans?
I didn't hear the beginning. I'm sorry.
Okay, baked beans, ranch style or pork and beans?
Is pork and beans a metaphor for, like, frankenbeans? Because I don't go that way, but thanks anyway. I guess I'm going ranch.
Okay, puppies or kittens?
Both.
Okay, what's your favorite lunch meat?
Roast beef.
Okay, I want to do the buzzer, but I can't do it so far on you. What was your first car?
A beat-up Ford Escort.
What do you fear most, snakes or spiders?
Sharks. I don't fear snakes or spiders.
I love his answers.
What is this to be frightened about? Sharks?
Just don't go in the water.
That's it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be afraid of a shark that's walking around the land. I'd be like, hey, look at you. You're a fucking stupid shark that can't get me. But if I were in the water,
shark,
it would bite my...
Sharks on land. I mean, you know, a shark on land is technically a dead shark, so not a problem. Spiders, I mean, you know, you are never more than something like 3 foot from a spider. There are like something
like
20,000 spiders per square, per acre, you know, and yeah, so there you go. Spiders.
Okay,
I love spiders.
I love spiders. They're awesome.
Okay, here we go now. Pay attention to me. Freddy, Jason, or Pinhead?
Oh, Jason, because come on. It's me.
Come on. First draft, handwritten or word processor?
Handwritten.
Really?
In the bathtub.
Yay!
In the bathtub. In the bathtub, he said.
I'm not kidding either.
No, hey, that's a great place to write. Great place to write.
Very quiet.
A favorite alcoholic drink?
Tequila.
Really?
Oh, okay. Hang on. That's the wrong answer. Steiner is now going to judge you.
Was I judging?
Yes. She does. She judges tequila. She judges.
Okay, and here's...
Oh, all right.
Judges
you
people.
Want an honest answer? Probably something like a Malibu Blue or maybe a Rum Runner or something.
There you go.
Okay,
there's an umbrella in it.
Here's number 11, because we have no 10. It's just gone. There is no 10. Okay, one interesting non-writing-related fact about you.
Actually, the character in my newest book, A Life Removed, that everybody hates, is me. So.
Aw, does everybody hate you? That's awful.
Oh, we don't.
But honest.
Right. Okay, and here is the bonus question, not to be confused with question 10, because it is not question 10. Baseball or stamp collection?
Oh, come on. I can't. That's like ass and, you know, worst ass. I don't know.
Come on, you were supposed to say baseball.
No. You're not allowed to prompt them.
I need a buzzer on my end.
You can make some money off of that.
I actually
football,
liked all those
American
answers.
Way.
Those were awesome.
So what's question 10?
I like the shark
Why
one.
I know this?
That was good.
I did too. So, I want more questions.
I don't get to know what number 10
some
was.
Up.
No, there is no 10. That's the
nobody.
That's the
nobody
thing.
Knows.
A couple weeks ago,
I
was looking to the questions, and it goes right from 9 to 10, or 9 to 11, and there's just no 10 anymore.
No, but,
and I'm wondering now,
the funny thing is, this is show 49, so it's taking you 49 weeks, sorry, 48
and
weeks to realize that there's a question missing. Yeah.
Well, you know what? To be, you know, it's not so bad because no one else realized that there was no, you know, that all the questions weren't there either. So it wasn't just me. But the fact that I'm staring at 1 through 9 and then 11, I guess, you know, no one else is staring at the numbers but me. So
yeah,
that doesn't say
a
whole lot.
You'd have picked up on that. So
you would have thought, but no, I didn't.
It was probably the most profound question, like, what's the meaning of life? And you
just left it out.
Yeah. What is your deep-rooted philosophy on the existence of mankind? You know, no, we're more interested in the pork and beans question, to be honest.
I still don't know what that's going for, but I hope I answered
it correctly. It may be a southern thing, I don't know, but, you know. So, Jason, just to get a bit of formality, so when you're not, you know, handwriting in the bath, who do you like to read? Who inspires you in the bath?
I actually do read in the bath, too. And you know what? I'm not ashamed to say it. If I had bubble bath, I would use it. So, you know.
You need to get some bubble bath. Buy it. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not manly. I don't know if I could buy it. But if it was there,
you could.
I would use it.
You could. Yeah. Buy yourself. They actually do. You get some manly bubble bath if you do. I actually have Minions bubble bath, which is awesome. It leaves my skin wonderfully soft.
The things that I learned about my co-host, now I'm going to be
picturing
you in the bubble bath. And
my Minions bubble bath.
Does it exfoliate too, or whatever?
That's actually I actually some the body wash. Yeah, so it's like grit, bits of grit in it. So that somebody's dropped it on the floor, sort of scraped it back into the bottle, but apparently that exfoliates. But there you go.
You just leave a pile of dead skin at the bottom of the bathtub, or
oh, gross.
I'm not cleaning that. That's gross. I am not cleaning that. No. That's terrible.
Who does?
No.
Our cleaning
lady does that. That's what she's there for.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
You know, the giveaway is in the name, is in the job title. Yeah?
Cleaning lady. Yeah, okay.
Cleaning
gotcha.
Lady. She's the lady what cleans. She cleans up all the crap that I don't want to do. So. What?
I'm not saying anything. No, I would get in trouble. So
yeah, and I can't support you on that with the whole lady part. You know,
right?
Be clean,
right?
Man.
No, she's a lady. She's a lady, definitely. Who does the cleaning? I mean, like saying a fireman. You know, a man who puts fires out. I mean, all this political correctness.
I suppose we should call a sort of.
Yeah, house hygiene technician or something. But at the end of the day, like you say, she scrubs the skid marks off the back of the kid's toilet pan. So it is what
gross.
It is. You know?
Send her over.
I will do that.
You know, I was just going to say we almost got to the end of the show without any poo, but you just messed it up, James.
We've managed. We've
you
got 6 minutes to go, and we've
me.
Got. I'm so sorry. We didn't make it. We fell off our final hurdle, didn't we? Damn.
Do you know that fruit flies poop on your food?
When they land on it? I have poop stories that could keep us going for months. Really.
Well, I thought I was going to be asked to my most embarrassing moment, and that had to deal with. So I'm glad we're just moving on to the end of the show.
By pure coincidence, we have time to ask you that, Jason. So, hey, what's your most embarrassing story?
I heard that the show is over.
No, it's not. No, we have time for that, actually.
All right, I've worn women's underwear. And the reason for that was because I shit my pants when I was a little kid at my aunt's house, and nobody had any underwear, so I had to walk out in my aunt's underwear in front of everybody, my family, my cousins at the time. I ran to the car crying in pink, fluffy underwear.
I love that story.
What was the most embarrassing part? Pooping your pants or wearing the underwear?
Oh, I didn't care about the pooping. I did that all the time, man. I was just pooping my pants everywhere. We go on vacations. You deal with it. You know? I'm a kid. I can do this.
I keep telling my kids that, I mean, obviously, I you know, for the past, I mean, they're old enough now to wipe their own backsides, but, you know, scrape their backsides. If I'm looking forward to the day when I am that old that they have to wipe my backside. And then it's payback time. Serious payback. There you go. Clean that up.
Probably pay somebody to do it.
Clean that up. Well, in fact, whatever. As long as I don't have to do it, then, you know. But I will do what they did to me. I will make sure I do it at the least opportune moment possible for them, you know.
And right after they change you, you do it again?
Oh, no, I will do it while they're changing me. That is even more fun, apparently. Especially if you're a boy.
Okay.
And you get that little... The number of times my sons, actually, they wait the minute the diaper's off. It's this little fountain, and then, you know, you've got to shower and change your shirt. You know.
Yes, when you have a little boy, you realize that as soon as you take the diaper, the thingy, you just cover it right back up right away because they will start peeing the second, like,
I know, but
itches,
you only ever learn that the hard way. It's not in any of the books, is it? Or any of the classes. You learn that after a couple of soak shirts. And, maybe I need to do that, yeah. But,
hey, if you got a gun, you want to shoot it. So, you know, if you're in the way, that's your problem.
You know,
that's the way I see it.
I think as a male, you know, it's a fascination that never leaves you. You know, I mean, what's the first thing you do when you see a bit of virgin snow? What do you want to do? You want to write your name.
Write your name, yep.
Exactly. We've all done that.
This is never something I've ever wanted to do. Okay.
Well, you're not a boy,
you don't use your pee. If you don't use your pee and you use your penis, it's really cold.
Yeah.
I'll take your word for it.
It can also be very awkward if it's actually on somebody's car windscreen as well, I found.
Oh, God. Wow.
Been there,
well,
done that.
We are just about out of time. Yeah, and so I wanted to ask Jason if he could tell us where we can find him on social media and where we can find his books.
Oh, everywhere online. I'm just that so amazing. No, I'm just kidding.
Brilliant. Google me, people. Google me.
Yes.
Find out how I wear women's underwear.
We want pictures. We want pictures.
The worst part is I didn't look good in it.
Oh. You never know, Exton. He may be wearing them now.
Right.
No. It's been a while since I aired, so.
Well, I wanted to thank you very much for coming on the show, Jason, and promise you'll come back and see us.
Anytime you'll have me.
Yay!
It's been fantastic. Thank you. Thank you for lowering the tone and everything. It was great. Really appreciate it. Good fun. I'm glad we managed to squeeze in a little bit of poo before the end of the show. That was great.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I might be pooping right now. You don't even know.
Great.
Excellent. That's what we need to do. We need to do a whole segment of, you know, guests on the toilet. That'll be fantastic. Well,
I'll
create a jingle.
I'll
create a jingle for that one. So Jason, thank you so much. And we will see you again very soon. And it's time to say, it's time, you can join in as well. Say goodnight, everybody.
Goodnight, everybody. It doesn't have the same ring, though.
Oh, sorry. Go on. Goodnight, Xtina.
Goodnight, Xtina.
There we go.
Goodnight, Xtina.
As I walk along, I wonder what went wrong with our love, a love that was so strong. And as I still walk on, I think of the things we've done together while our hearts were young. I'm a-walking in the rain to the run, 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 run away.
Run, run, run.